Hello and welcome to KIOS at the Movies. I'm your host, Joshua LeBure. Today I'm joined by Genevieve Verdosti and Patrick White from a project that I'm also involved with called Maybe We're Projecting to discuss the new film, Marty Supreme.
I was reading about him and he sounds like one of those guys that called himself an anarchist but was actually a libertarian, so. All right. So anyway, we're here to talk about Marty Supreme. I mean, I'm just going to start off, like, coming out of this film, like, I was so confused on whether I loved it or hated it, just because it's such a relenting, like, an unrelenting, almost like a roller coaster of a film. It, like, starts and then it just never stops. And that's very similar to the Safdie brothers. This is Josh Safdie alone, but this is very similar to the Safdie brothers. Very popular film, Uncut Gems, which I think had a very similar pulse through it. Mm-hmm. But I think what pulled me into this one a little bit more just seemed a little less nihilistic. It seemed like it had a little bit more humanity. You know, we talked a little bit after the film. Let's just start with kind of your initial reactions, because that was mine.
I thought it was very similar to the other movies with the pacing and with the general chaos. I think part of that is tied to it being co-written and co-edited by Ronald Bronstein, who also did Uncut Gems and Good Times. So that makes sense. But yeah, I also found that it was a lot more hopeful by the end shot. And I think enjoyable in some ways, because the character of Marty Supreme, Marty Mauser, played by Timothy Chalamet, does some really despicable things, but you kind of delight in his behavior as much as you might despise it. He's very charismatic and you kind of get swept away with him.
Yeah, I would agree with the nature of being swept away by Chalamet as Marty. When I first watched it, my reaction was a little bit more frustration with his character and anger and just a lack of appreciation for kind of the con artist that he was. But then more and more as I unpacked it, it became a really interesting exploration of the con in many forms, where Chalamet is doing his own con to try to get to ping pong tournament or exhibition experience. But then there is like the businessman played by Kevin O'Leary. In a way, he's doing a con. Gwyneth Paltrow's character, this fading celebrity, there's a con involved in that. And then there's the sort of up-and-comer or the wannabe Marty in the girlfriend. Yeah, Odessa Zion playing Rachel. Everybody is effectively a con artist in this movie. So attributing only that to Chalamet is a little unfair. And I think Josh Safdie does a really terrific job of unpacking the nature of the con and the anxiety surrounding it so effectively.
And I think that's so true, that everyone is kind of a con artist in one way or another in this movie. And Chalamet, and I think, Joshua, you brought this up after the movie, was that the difference between Chalamet and Rockwell by Kevin O'Leary is that one has money and the other doesn't.
Yeah, I think I said right after the movie that the big difference between a con man and a capitalist is that a capitalist is successful and a con man has been caught. And I think that, like, I really think about the fact that, you know, we've kind of grown up in with all of these stories about, I don't know, Theranos. But I was just thinking about, like, how a lot of those people, they were doing exactly the same thing that, you know, we hear about all these founders, these heroes that we love. Yeah, in America, and they were all just conning people until they finally had enough money. They were in the black, you know, and they could justify their con, and then they're just great capitalists. But if you never get there and you like stay unprofitable, at some point you become a con person. And I think that was like something interesting about the film, because I'm looking at all these reactions, things that people are posting about the film on Letterboxd and just reviewers, and they're like, oh, it's an inspirational American film and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did you see the same film that I did?
This feels like Wolf of Wall Street all over again then.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, this is exactly that. It's Wolf of Wall Street. It's Greed is Good from Wall Street. It doesn't say anything about the film's quality per se, but it does say something like with the the reactions to this film, I think it points out something sick about the film that the film is actually trying to point out. But unfortunately, it gets so muddy with like marketing a film that they grab on all of those quotes and they start to like completely contradict the message of the art, which I think is like really interesting thing about film marketing.
Well, and do you
Right.
think that that's partially like Chalamet's presence in the movie? Because we kind of talked about like Chalamet versus Sandler in Uncut Gems, and I think there is an element of what you bring to the movie and your association with these actors, where like maybe some people were really just despise Adam Sandler, and it's not fun to watch him destroy his own life. Whereas like I have an affinity for him, and I can appreciate the humor. So there is still heart to this, self-destruction that's happening. And I think that that certainly carried over with Chalamet, who's somebody who I've really enjoyed in the Dune movies, Call Me By Your Name, and so forth. I think it is an interesting thing just in regards to celebrity and how that can influence how an audience is perceiving a movie. Wolf of Wall Street is a perfect example. I mean, DiCaprio, like he's a mega celebrity, and it's if you love Leonardo DiCaprio, then in a way you're gonna love Jordan Belfort and want to be Jordan Belfort because maybe you want to be DiCaprio. Like
Right.
the
We know them as aspirational figures.
yeah, exactly.
So we see their faces and we think, yes, I want to be them. And then we're presented with this, morally corrupt story. And we're like, well, I think I still want to be them. No, hopefully not. But it seems like, yeah, even the marketing, I'm looking at the poster right now and it says Dream Big Christmas.
Dream big.
Dream
Oh
Big.
man, that's crazy.
I think so.
This whole life of trying to be like the successful guy just seems like an exhausting adventure that I never want to go on.
Yeah,
Well,
certainly.
and the character of Marty Mauser, he seems to see every relationship as transactional. It's not vulnerability, it's not relationship building in any way. It's just what can you do for me in this moment? And it's very sad. So I'm kind of shocked with the marketing and the reaction so far, but I do want to stress that I think it is a very enjoyable movie all the same. Not aspirational, but an absolute blast. Like I would watch it again in a heartbeat.
I completely agree. I found it endlessly entertaining. And it's one that the more and more I think about it, the more I'm excited to revisit. And thankfully, my sister will be in town and we're going to go on Christmas Day probably to see it, which feels bizarre at the same time, right? Like, because again, yeah, maybe you can interpret it in an aspirational way and you're going into New Year's Eve and you're going to make 2026 the best year yet. But like, that's just. As entertained as I was, that certainly was not my takeaway.
At what cost, for sure? The human cost. Oh my goodness.
I came out feeling very complicated about it, but I think that that is to me a testament of like how good of a film it is, because I don't want a movie to be easy. Sometimes I want to come out of a movie being like, what did I think? I don't know. But what I did know is that I just watched a 2 hour and 40 minute movie, or a 2.5 hour movie, I think it's 2 hours and 30 minutes. I watched a 2.5 hour movie and A did not feel the runtime, and I felt like I got an entire experience, which I think is like one of the great things about a film. And I don't necessarily need to come out of something feeling like super good per se. I can come out of something feeling like I just kind of experienced some kind of like intense conversation about the nature of dreaming big in America.
Well, it's got a real percussive nature to it as a film, and I think that that ties really nicely just to the nature of ping pong and the back and forth that is happening. And Safdie is effectively pulling us back and forth in between, whether it's that transactional relationships or different locations. Sometimes you don't even know where you are in the movie.
So true. I know it doesn't make for super scintillating conversation, but I did find a quote in an interview with Ronald Bronstein and Mary, And they talked about how in the movies that they write, they like to show an individual who's not in a position to behave well in life. That's the furthest you could go if you're really trying to test the limits of how empathy functions. So I really liked that idea of this movie being an empathy test. Like, are you still on board with Marty or have you jumped ship?
Hello.
Hey, it's Marty Mauser. I'm in the Royal Suite. I saw you in the lobby yesterday.
Okay.
Well, I never talked to an actual movie star. You know, I'm something of a performer, too.
Are you?
Yeah, you don't believe me?
I.
You what? What? You got the Daily Mail in front of you?
This is you?
Yeah, the chosen one. It's a nice picture, right?
I have a purpose. And if you think that's some sort of blessing, it's not. It means I have an obligation to see a very specific thing through. And with that obligation comes sacrifice.
Everything in my life's falling apart, but I'm gonna figure it out.
Do you need any help? I could help you.
I know it's hard to believe, but I'm telling you, this game, it fills stadiums overseas. And it's only a matter of time before I'm staring at you from the cover of a Wheaties box.
Trying to control you, Marty.
It is unacceptable! It is unacceptable!
But I don't think you understand the stakes. You have no power here.
What do you plan to do if this whole dream of yours doesn't work out?
It doesn't even enter my consciousness. Now look at this, an orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, custom ball like that, it's gonna cost a lot of money.
Of course it's custom. It's an original ball for an original guy. It's a Marty Supreme ball, not the Marty normal ball.
Marty Supreme is now playing in theaters. For more information about Maybe We're Projecting, maybewereprojecting.substack.com. For KIOS, I'm Joshua LeBure.